Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty. Welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go on the world's greatest radio. And now you are in touch with The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is radio the way it should be heard. We've been talking about distractions. Mr. Fuller gave his suggestions on that, and we've been answering questions to that effect and trying to roll in the other questions to that. This is also the second hour is the donate hour. And we do need your contributions. We simply do. There will be a special announcement at the end, at the middle of the program to speak more about that. But we need you to do that or pick that up. Some have donated twice, three times. But if you haven't, ma'am, sir, find it in your heart to donate to the program so we can keep this going. Because you have to understand that this program does not have to be here, and it would be a tremendous void, you know, to me. I don't get paid to do this, not at all. I do this as my contribution to justice, and I love it. I'm not complaining, not one single bit, even no matter what cards or letters that come in. But you have to have the presence of mind to realize just the treasure that you have with you. So keep that in mind as you do that. We're talking about distractions, and Mr. Fuller will address this. How do we recognize a distraction, or what do we do about it? You know, and he mentioned first time, last time in the violence of a black man hitting somebody, but does that work in the system of racism, which is white supremacy, when they do that to us? Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning.
Speaking of distractions, that old so-called royal wedding that took place in England, I thought that was a big distraction from stuff that's real. I call that a desperate PR program that Queen Elizabeth's playing games with. Now, you know, Britain is a declining power. She's in a vicious economic competition with Germany for Europe. Her colonies want to break off and demand reparations. Her commonwealth wants to break off. They say the monarchy is outdated. Some people don't want a monarchy over there at all. So she pulls this whole royal wedding as a desperate PR program, trying to show us that Britain's supposed to be inclusive, that it's a modernized monarchy now. I don't buy it for a second. Now, the fact that this prominent British prince goes out on a blind date and get this Canadian Hollywood biracial black woman as his bride, that don't even sound right. The blind date don't even sound right. And he was supposed to propose to her while she was roasting a chicken. That don't even sound right. That man's got servants at his disposal. Why would he have his old lady roasting a chicken? That whole thing doesn't even sound right. I call it a desperate PR program, a desperate distraction to distract people from the fact that them UK folks are heavily in debt. They're competing with Germany for the economic control of Europe. The colonies want to break off and demand reparations. The Commonwealth say they're incompetent, and they want to pull off. So, like I said, that's just a desperate PR program. I tell black people don't buy into it.
Is there a question for Mr. Fuller? That was good, by the way. Is there
Mr. Caller, what do you think about that old desperate PR wedding that old biracial black woman married that old redheaded Nazi boy?
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
Well, according to what I've written in the code, I just go directly to what they call, might call marriage, which might include sexual intercourse. And I'm saying sexual intercourse between a white person and a non-white person in the system of white supremacy is an abuse of power on the part of the white person. I mean, it's not personal. The way that I have written it, it's just the effect. It gives the illusion that the system of racism is over or is approaching being over, that we can have sexual intercourse and that will eliminate racism. Actually, in the system of white supremacy, that should be the last thing if you're really serious. You have sexual intercourse last between people who are having a huge disagreement in the other areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, and you're at war with each other. You don't engage in sexual intercourse when there's a war going on with the people that you're having war against. I mean, that's rape. That's what it amounts to. That's the definition of rape. It's a part of the robbery, all right? No matter how it looks on the surface.
Oh, you mean to say you ain't romantic? You
What's the question now?
You don't see the whole thing as being romantic?
Does it being what now?
Progress of black people?
She said romantic. You don't see the whole thing as being romantic.
And progress for
black people? Hold it now. Okay, let's deal with the word romantic. That means in the ways of the Romans. Well, you don't want to follow their ways either. I mean, according to interaction between what we call the ancient Romans, the Roman Empire, and non-white people. That's romance. That's what that is, Romans. I mean, you know, in the ways like the Romans do. Well, what did the Romans do? Back in that part of history, well, for one thing, they burned, raped, conquered people of color. Many of them did, according to what I have read, unless I've been misinformed. And so you don't want to copy that pattern, and you don't want to go down that road. I mean, you know, conquering a people and then going to bed with them and producing babies, I mean, that you use to cause confusion, okay? Because that's what comes out of this, you get more confusion. Because we haven't gotten the other things straight yet.
Yes.
Economics, education, entertainment. See, going to bed is any one-on-one, a male with one male with one female, understand. Usually they try to make some type of agreement about what the overall relationship is going to be before you get in bed. You don't get in bed and then start talking about what is your name.
Not
see, that's not the order of which things should be done. So in talking about this, hello?
I take it you don't see this as progress for black people.
Say that again now.
Now, you don't see this as progress for black people?
No. This is nothing but a form of rape. Why? Because we are prisoners of war. If you're a person of color and you're on this planet in 2018, you are already captured. You're under the system of white supremacy. There's no other government that you're under. None. Zero. That's according to what I have written. Now, that's either true or false. There's no other government. If you've got color in your skin, you are under the system of white supremacy. Period. You're not under any other system of any kind, regardless of how it looks on the surface. And so anyone who is classified as white, who has sexual intercourse with a non-white person, is really engaging in what you might call child abuse. Why? Because as prisoners of war, I have been reduced to the status of a child. Every black male, every black female, every non-white person is in a childlike condition in the system of white supremacy. So if you start talking about child abuse, if any white person has sexual intercourse with a non-white person in the system of white supremacy, which is the only government on the planet, that white person is guilty of child abuse, period. Keep it straight and simple. And it's only when white supremacy no longer exists, then it's just boy meets girl, you might say. And, you know, and love and flowers and all the rest of it. And it's legit. But under these conditions, it's conquest.
Okay.
It's just an extension of conquest.
Just an extension. Okay, let's do this from the Gmails. This comes from Chris. He says this, good morning, Mr. Fuller. I was wondering, Mr. Fuller, if you could expound on the topic of the Constitution of the U.S. and specifically the three-fifths of a man clause, which was directed toward slaves. Is there a codified way to understand slash interpret this in 2018? And does it still have an effect on black people in regards to courtroom matters? This is Chris from New York.
Well, if I understand the question, does racism exist in a courtroom? The answer is yes, because racism exists everywhere. It doesn't have anything to do with a room. It has to do with nine areas of activity, and you're classified as non-white. So if you're classified as non-white in 2018, and you're walking or existing on a planet called Earth, you're under the jurisdiction of some conquerors who are called white supremacists and are the system of white supremacy, the government of white supremacy, the only valid government on the planet. The only functional government on the planet. So the answer to that question is yes. I mean, all of the above. You're a victim of white supremacy 24/7. It's not, you know, you don't go in a certain room where you're not, whether it's a courtroom or hospital room or classroom in a college or battlefield or wherever. If you're a person of color, you come under the jurisdiction of those white people who believe in dominating and mistreating people based on color.
Based on color. Okay, let's get this call in. Caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please, with your question.
Yes, it's really not a question. It's just a comment about the last caller calling in about the Queen and what's going on over there. It's irrelevant to what Mr. Fuller is trying to teach or inform us about. And to me, that is like something joking, you know, something to joke about. But people like that, that is why we are going backwards instead of going forward, because of games people play. And that just was rude for her to deal with him on that level.
Oh.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Uh-huh. All righty. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Let's do this. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7 no charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, politics. Now, here's one that I'm going to share with you, as I shared in the first hour, and this is All in the Family with S. Yolanda Robinson. No, this isn't the Archie Bunker type. This is something different, and you need to tune into that program to find out what S. Yolanda Robinson is talking about. As a matter of fact, all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, click on programs, and for the scheduled times and a little brief bio on all of the TalkTainment Radio personalities. That comes from TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and today we are speaking of distractions, and Mr. Fuller is answering your questions. And let's go to the Gmails. This comes from Daryl. He said, Mr. Fuller, last week you said that there's not a place on earth that the white supremacist doesn't control, and if we could ever find such a place, to let you know, because you'd like to go there and see it for yourself. Well, there is such a place, and it's called North Sentinel Island, and this island in the Indian Ocean is populated by dark-skinned black people who've lived, colonized, or influenced by any white supremacist. Far as you or anybody else going there to see it, I wouldn't advise that, because anybody that's ever landed on that island hasn't made it out alive. Okay, yeah, made it out alive. They protect the island to the death, which is why no coloner dare to go there to try anything. So I just wanted to tell you, Mr. Fuller, that there is such a place that the white supremacists don't have control over. Google it for yourself. Read up on it. That's what he says here. Very fascinating.
All right, well, he said what he said.
He said what he said. All right. Thank you, Daryl. Let's go to the phone lines. Okay, caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller?
Hey, Brother Mukko.
Brother Mukko from Baltimore. How you feeling? Where we hold the compensatory constructive action discussion, and we will be holding them this weekend at about 3 p.m., give it doesn't rain, on St. Lowe Drive, right across the street from Lake Clifton High School. Question for Mr. Fuller today. Mr. Fuller, can you expound for my care unit in Baltimore and all around the world how important it is to recognize that 9 times out of 10, confusion is the do-tell sign that there's a distraction coming right after?
That 9 times out of 10, there's confusion is what now?
The do-tell sign that there's a distraction coming right after.
There's a distraction coming after the confusion?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Confusion is distraction. Distraction is confusion.
Right.
It's all the same thing. When you're distracted, the whole purpose for distracting someone is to cause confusion. In the way that I understand, if I understand what you're saying.
Okay, Brother Mukko, can you maybe elaborate just a little more, or maybe give an example of that type of confusion?
I think Mr. Fuller hit it right on.
Okay,
on point, like he always does, and that's what I meant, by the way, Mr. Fuller. I just wanted you to say it without me, you know, actually saying it. I guess that was VDQ in a way, but. All the time I try to warn my care unit that if you see confusion or you detect confusion in a conversation, in a situation, that 9 times out of 10, that confusion is a form of distraction, or distraction is coming right after to confuse you more.
I got you.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Mr. Fuller hit it right on the nail, like he always does.
Before I let you go, is that what those collaborators are doing in your city?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. This is why I wanted Mr. Fuller to clear it up, which he has been doing all morning.
Yes.
This is an absolutely great topic, and I wasn't even going to call him, but, you know, I always like to check in with my two major guys.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was definitely it.
Okay.
You know, yeah, that was it.
And thank you. And thank you for the call, and thank you for the T-shirts, by the way. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right.
Mr. Fuller, let's continue here, speaking on distractions. This just comes from the Gmail from Yatora. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Can you share some experiences or stories on the outcome of times you've discussed racism, white supremacy with white people? How do you find it plays out when talking to white people about racism? Also, do you suggest talking to white people about racism?
I suggest talking to white people about producing justice. That's the best way to go about doing it. You get better communications that way, at least initially. Now, it may get a little more difficult to communicate as the discussion goes on, but I have found from experience, if you start off talking about racism to a white person, the initial reaction is nervousness and then a tendency to back away from the subject altogether.
Okay.
So if you're going to be serious about trying to solve the problem and you run across a white person who is interested in problem solving, you just simply address problem solving in a larger envelope, meaning the one thing that you want to achieve is justice, you know, initially, which is balance between people, which means guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help.
Yes.
So you define the word justice
okay.
first.
Okay.
And so you just talk about justice.
You define now, it or they define it?
No, you define it to them.
Okay.
What you mean by it.
All right.
Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, that's number one, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Now, I think this is the best approach to take, and this is what I've advised to do in the code book, that when you're talking to white people, always talk about from the standpoint of what is missing is a thing called justice, and we need to bring justice into being because it doesn't exist anywhere, all right? And what does it mean? So you want to define that
okay.
before as you go along with anything. I hear some talking in the background.
I think there's a caller on. Caller, if you're on, can you cut your radio down? Mr. Fuller hears some distracting noise. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Yeah, see, that is, we're talking about distraction. See, that could be one. Okay. Now, you want to talk about justice, but you define justice so that you be on the same page. Otherwise, you're going to get confusion in the conversation, and it's going to lead nowhere. So you say, well, your idea of justice is guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help each and every day, everywhere on the planet, at all times without exception, that no person is mistreated. Nobody gets mistreated, because if anybody's getting mistreated, you can't have justice, all right? And does the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help? If you don't have that, you don't have justice. So that should be your aim. So you tell the person that's your aim for the entire conversation. Now, then you start trying to work out how to get there.
Okay.
Now, somewhere along the line, the subject, I'm almost sure, of racism is going to come up. You don't bring it up.
Okay.
See, I've told people, particularly on jobs, never bring up the subject of racism. Wait for somebody else to bring it up. Then that's when the floor is open to talk about racism. But always go in talking about what you're trying to achieve by getting rid of racism and getting rid of all forms of mistreatment. Because racism is just one form of mistreatment.
Yes, sir.
It just so happened in 2018, it's the greatest form of mistreatment on the planet that we call Earth. But you start off talking about it. You can do that even with non-white people. Just start talking about how do you produce justice. And in the process of talking about producing justice, you automatically are going to include racism. That's going to be right at the top of the list.
Right at the top.
But
okay.
In a conversation, it's best for the other person to bring it up.
Okay. From the Gmails, this comes from Brother Palmer. He says this, Mr. Fuller, what does intelligent resistance means under the compensatory code?
Intelligent resistance?
Yeah, what does intelligent resistance mean under the compensatory code?
Did I have that word listed in the word guide?
Let me check it out.
That
here.
Term?
Let me
I don't remember putting that in there.
Okay. All right. Let's see. intelligent
resistance.
Yeah.
It may be there. I may have put that term in there, but I don't remember doing that.
I'm looking in here, and I'm in the eyes. Let's see. Intelligent resistance. Intel, infinite. I'm almost there. Insensitive ST. Okay. Here's intelligent quotient. Yeah, wait a minute. Intelligent counterintelligence. I don't see intelligent resistance.
You don't see intelligent resistance, I don't think.
Let me make sure. No, I don't see it in the code book. I've looked through there. The closest I could come is intelligent quotient, which is IQ, and intelligence counterintelligence. That's it.
Well, has the caller seen that in any of my writings?
I cannot answer for the caller. I'm just reading the
yes,
question.
But I'm saying the caller should know whether or not he or she has seen intelligent resistance in Neely Fuller's writings.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm asking that now. The caller. Is the caller still there?
Oh, no, no. This was from the Gmails.
Oh, the Gmail.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, since I didn't coin that term, I don't explain terms that I, you know, that I didn't invent.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Or that I didn't use.
Uh-huh.
See, anytime you use words, you should be explaining the words. You should be able to explain the words that you use. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you shouldn't use them. Okay? So I wouldn't know how to answer that. Intelligent resistance. The person who invented that term should answer that. That's the codified procedure. Whomever invents a term should explain the term fully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and you said that in the past, so that we can make everything clear.
Oh, yes. You don't want what? You don't want distraction, and you don't want confusion. All right? And the way to do that is for everybody to explain exactly what they mean. Because different people, when we use the same words, we have different meanings for the same words. So each person, when he or she speaks, should say, this is what I mean when I use this word, when I use this term. So
yeah.
Since I don't recall ever using the term intelligent resistance,
okay.
So I couldn't explain what that meant at all.
Okay. Sorry, Brother Palmer, if you are listening, we couldn't get to that. Let's take a quick call while we're doing that. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Jim from Pittsburgh. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Hi, yes. My question is for Mr. Fuller. Sir, let me just say you are a very wise man. I've taken your words into my heart. It's developed me as a man, and I thank you for that. But I want to get your take on one point. Us, the Africans in the West, the so-called African-Americans, being that we're in the heart of white supremacy and not being naive that white supremacy is a global matter, not being naive to that, but Mr. Fuller, would it not be wise for us to look to form our own country elsewhere, namely on the African continent? I wanted to get your feelings on that.
Would it be wise to look to what on other continents?
To form another country for Africans, Americans, and perhaps descendants of slaves in the Western Hemisphere? Because it just seems to me that we're in the heart of this matter. We're like someone who's swimming in the river and there's crocodiles all around us. Now, getting to land, the crocodile could come to land for you, but being in the middle of the water, we can't really do much. It's very hard here. So would it not be wise for us to get out of the heart of white supremacy, being the Western Hemisphere, and look to form our own country elsewhere?
Well, if a person wants to try to do that, but I have said that the position I have taken is that the white supremacists run everything everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They are non-white people. They
yes.
run it, either directly or indirectly. Remote
mm-hmm.
control in all areas of activity. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, war. They dominate the people who are going to fight other people. When non-white
mm-hmm.
people fight each other, they orchestrate that. They're behind it. They finance it. They're in control of all of the money. that is on the planet, either directly or indirectly, because they're in control of the value of the money, what that money can do, where it goes, and whomever receives it, what they can use it for. The white supremacists control it if it's a person of color doing it. That's what supreme means.
Yes.
It doesn't mean partial. It's absolute.
Okay.
So anywhere you go to the bottom of the ocean. If you're a person of color, the white supremacists know where the bottom of the ocean is.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I have to cut it off for the break. Sorry about that. Sorry, callers, but we're up against the break. TalkTime@radio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1. WGRN podcasts are available. Download the TalkTime@radio.com to your cell phone or to your app. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We have more of Mr. Fuller coming up next.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
ASHKICKIN. Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Books them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of a Cut Above the Rest barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
We thank you for your emails and your feedback, and we are working very hard for you. We have supported the Compensatory Code since 1975. We believe that it is the only system of thought, speech, and action that enables us to move in the correct direction to work toward the production of justice. But right now, we need your help. If we're going to continue the Compensatory Concept Show each week, we need your support. Now, we thank you and deeply appreciate what you've already donated. Please help us to continue to get the Compensatory Code system of thought, speech, and action out. Please donate today. Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and hit the yellow donate button on the front page. Donate today. We appreciate any amount that you can give. We thank you so much.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
You got the power.
All righty. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. You can simply download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Let me say this. My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am the co-host of the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Fuller. Sometimes when we have to go to break and Mr. Fuller is up against the break, I'm told that I have to break it off. I do not mean to interrupt Mr. Fuller as he's talking, but that's radio, and I have to do that. I say that because I'm often accused of cutting Mr. Fuller off, and I have no intention on cutting Mr. Fuller off. And Mr. Fuller and I have, he has spoken to me that if he gets off subject or off topic, to bring him in, which is going to cause, or bring him back, which is going to cause another interruption. But it is never on purpose, and never to do any never to do anything wrong with Mr. Fuller whatsoever. So I just wanted you to know that. You can call in by calling 1-877-932-9766 is the number. Let's go right to the phone lines. Okay, caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please, and thank you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. To continue on with that, yes, I completely agree that white supremacy is everywhere, and their foothold is completely on the continent. But being that we're up against such a large, large dragon, such a large, large beast, wouldn't it be logical that we need more people and that we need to spread our ideology across the continent? And it's going to take more than just black Americans and the few that we have that actually understand what white supremacy is. So logically, sir, would that not make sense that we need to look for creating our own country on the continent?
Well, I've heard people say that, and under VGQ, people who want to do that should do it if they think that will work. I don't think it will work for the reason that I've been given. Understanding white supremacy. See, that's the first thing. If you understand white supremacy, there's no such thing as a place in the prison system. The prison, that's the name of the prison. The system of white supremacy, and it's a world prison, meaning that if you are non-white, you are born in that prison and subject to the prison rules if you're on this planet called Earth. Now, if you're on some other planet, then that's a whole other thing. I mean, but if you're on this planet called Earth and you're a person of color, you, according to what I've written, unless I've made an error, unless I've been misinformed, you are under in every area of activity, 24/7. Not for 1 second are you not under the system of white supremacy and their awesome power. All right.
Okay, so
that's what the supreme means, which means moving from one room to another on this planet is just like moving from one cell to another on this planet.
Yes.
That's the way to picture it in your mind, according to what I see. That's the way that I see it. It may not be this way, but it's no such thing as a breathing space, you might say. That's where the white supremacist doesn't control. And when I say control, I mean absolutely. Even though someone called in earlier on the program and said there's an island where nobody goes, because when you go there, the people are so hostile. But see, I'm putting it within the context of who has power over the entire island. See, just being on that island and doing your own thing on the island, the white supremacists know where the island is. That's number one. And the white supremacists can say, since it is an island and a very small one, all right, and a lot of people who have the power to keep you away from that island, and don't come there and do anything to them or against them, the white supremacists, by being supreme, can just simply say, well, hey, do those people have the ability for me not to drop poison on their island?
Yes.
And in 15 minutes, every last creature on that island, including every snail, every ant, every person, in 15 minutes will be DEAD. All right?
Yes, sir.
See, sometimes people, black people, get this illusion that we are going back in what we call prehistory, where there's some place that you can get on horseback or get in your chariot, like in the days of the Bible and whatnot, and go fleeing across a river or a stream and get to the other side and say, now we are free. All right? That's no longer the case. This is 2018. The white supremacist said, I don't care if you go to the moon. I'm already there.
Sure,
I will
sure.
meet you when you get there.
So
right?
Let me ask you this, sir. Let me ask you this, Mr. Fuller. That is very true, and I 100% agree. But isn't our objective as victims of white supremacy, should we not want to defeat white supremacy and not just survive it? Should that not be our goal?
The goal should be that. Otherwise, I would not be having this conversation right now. People have said, and I've talked about it with people all down through the years, why try to do something that can't be done? I have written a book that, in my opinion, says this is the way to do it. You empower each person, and this is a very difficult concept for a lot of people to swallow or even to examine. If you empower each person, meaning by empower, I mean each person knows exactly what to do and what not to do that will work for him or her on a daily basis, the system of white supremacy, just by that fact alone, will dissolve. If every black person on the planet knows what to do and what to say, what to say and what not to say, each and every day, in every instance, wherever he or she may be on the planet, the system of white supremacy will collapse right around you. You don't have to go anywhere. It will collapse wherever you are, simply because everybody is what? Codified. Codified how? They are doing things and saying things in such a way that the system of white supremacy cannot function.
Okay.
Because the system of white supremacy has principles for functioning.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phone line. Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Mr. Fuller, you made a statement before that said black lives matter only to those who don't matter. I would like you to elaborate on the end part of that statement in terms of those who don't matter. And also, I like to put an addition on to that. You have white supremacists who fund Black Lives Matter. So are those the people that don't matter as well?
Well, the Black Lives Matter has, that's a saying, I understand, that a few black ladies came up with. Some people may know their names. I mean, you know, it just didn't come out of the air somewhere. Somebody coined these terms. So that's the person that can best explain what the term Black Matters means. See, I said earlier in this program, anybody who coins a term should be able to explain what the term means. But functionally, it's been my observation in raising the question, do black lives matter? And if black lives do matter, whom do black lives matter to? All right? And what do you mean when black lives matter? Black lives matter in what context? When? Where? Well, I'm assuming it means black lives matter all the time. Matter how? Matter enough that you consider a black person as being worthy of being considered a person that's worthy of justice, meaning you don't mistreat the person, okay? And you help the person because the person needs help. That's it. That's the criteria. You don't mistreat the person, and you help the person because the person needs help. So when I look around and I see the condition of black people, I concluded, no, black lives don't matter. not even to a whole lot of black people.
Wow.
As a whole, that's what I see. Now, this has to be true, otherwise, why are we even having this conversation on this program every week or even this very minute? Evidently, black lives do not matter to somebody, and that somebody must be important enough that if it doesn't matter to that somebody, and that would be racist man and racist woman who have control of the resources of this planet, then that means black lives don't matter.
Mm.
See what I mean? They don't matter in a way that they should matter.
I mean, the way that they should, yes.
And if they do, where's the evidence?
Mm. Good question.
Matter to whom? When? Under what circumstance?
Okay.
I mean, where's the proof that black lives matter?
Well, correct. Yeah, good questions there. Before we take our 15-minute, or rather 45-minute break, here's a question from Brother Price. He says this, Mr. Fuller, you say ultimately we want the white supremacists to either do away with the current system and produce justice or either purge us. Now, my question is, haven't they already been purging us, Mr. Fuller? And what should our posture be during the slaughter of our people? Should we be docile prisoners and let them have their way with zero resistance? Or should we start proactively engaging the known white supremacists, those that have proven they are a threat to the black people?
All of those questions are answered in the textbook. Throughout the entire textbook, that's what the code is for. See, we're running right past what I say is the solution. That's just my idea, a proposal for the solution. Really, Neely Fuller doesn't have a solution to the race problem because no one has a solution to the race problem according to evidence. Everybody has a theory about what the solution is. Why? Because we still have a race problem. See, when a person says they have the solution to the race problem, I, myself, Neely Fuller, in a codified manner, is raise the question. Because I always say all problems are solved through questions and answers. What do I say? And of course, a person said to me some years ago, said, Fuller, you got correct approach maybe, and you got correct intentions and whatnot. He said, but you ain't really got the solution to the race problem. I got the solution to the race problem. And then I raised the question, how can you have the solution and I have the problem?
Wow.
See, that's the question. That goes right to the jugular. See, no dribbling down the court. That's a slam dunk question. How can a victim of racism have the problem of racism? And here's a person or a group of persons or any person anywhere in space or anywhere saying they have the solution when the problem is still there. You don't have the problem until what? According to counter-racist science, you don't have a solution to a problem until there's no longer a problem. That's the only proof that you have the solution.
Yes, sir.
Everybody got a theory about how to solve a problem. Even an ant understands that, all right? But is the problem solved? That's the only way that you can say you have the solution and have credibility.
All right.
And that includes Neely Fuller.
Okay.
I say I have a proposal for a solution. That's the accurate way to describe it.
Gotcha. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Now, this is the time where we set aside for Mr. Fuller to talk about the book briefly. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Well, you can get the book in about 7 to 10 days, I have been told, by going to producejustice.com. That's my regular website. I had a distribution problem, so the basic textbook was not being distributed, so so I had to stop advertising it as being available because there was a distribution problem on the basic textbook. By the basic textbook, I mean, actually, the book is one book. I have two volumes of the same book, really, but I usually refer to the basic book as one that a person can read without having the second volume, which is basically a word guide. Now, the word guide, I have been told, is still available in a few copies that they have, but all of the copies of the basic textbook with the word guide will be available in from 8 to 10 days by going to producejustice.com. And the basic textbook carries enough information for a reader of it directed to the individual person to learn a little bit from my viewpoint about what to do as an individual person, day to day, wherever you happen to be, about bettering your own condition, which is what it's addressed to do, bettering your condition as an individual person, wherever you happen to be, a person of color, in the system of white supremacy, making your situation a little better than it is.
Yes.
That's what the book is written for.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and overall, with the objective, ultimately, to replace the system itself of white supremacy with a better system, which would be the system of justice.
Okay. Looking at this word guide, I know you weren't able to get all of the words and terms in here, but I have, like, I'm on page 200. You don't have to turn to it, but I'm on page 200, and I noticed that you give a reason, and then you add some notes to whatever the topic is being discussed. Right now it was leader, and then you put racial under it, but you went into detail about what those terms mean. And this is what this whole word guide is about?
Yes, that's what the word guide is about. It's a counter-racist word guide. See, so I picked out certain terms that people use or may hear other people use and how best to handle these words.
Right. Okay.
How best to use them or not use them. There are some words you simply don't use at all, you know, like racial integration. There's no such thing as that. I mean, you either have racism or you don't. White supremacy either exists or it doesn't. So you don't say integrate racism. That doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, racial segregation. I mean, you know, what? It's too vague. It's too misleading, these terms. And then people sometimes say racial discrimination. That's a little better term. It still lends itself to confusion.
Yes.
Just say white supremacy, all right, is racism, and racism is white supremacy.
Period.
So, yes, that's it. There's no other forms of racialism, and you can't spin on it or anything like that because you cause what? The one thing you don't want, confusion. So these terms are listed in the word guide as terms you don't use, racial integration, racial segregation. You just say white supremacy, all right? Either you got it or you haven't.
Exactly. Okay. All righty. In the remaining moments here, let's go to the phone lines. Caller, what is your question for Mr. Fuller?
Blessed love. Good morning, Mr. Bobby and Mr. Fuller.
Good morning,
Thank
sir.
You both. Mm-hmm. Thank you both for the work that you do. Quick question. I guess there's a couple of questions. The first question is to Mr. Fuller. I feel like today there's more distractions in the world than there ever has been with all the, you know, internet and technology and so much information being available. And all people are pretty much distracted on their phone or, you know, doing something, video games, whatever it may be. And I think that the reason for that is because there's so much corruption that people are needing to be distracted from. But so for black people now, or non-white people even, if everybody's so distracted, like say people like us who are aware of the code and, you know, try to live with the code in our life, how do we, if we know the way, but everybody else doesn't know the way, then we can't free ourselves because we need everybody, you know, in the world to break this system. So how do we, as people who are aware of the code, help other people along the way to get them on board so that we can, you know, liberate the world together?
By telling people that we need a code. That's the missing link. That's the one thing that we've been missing all the time. The white supremacists have a code. I mean, each and every white supremacist knows what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, that does what? That works for the system of white supremacy. That's the key. See, each person, everything works on the basis of a code, electrical code, plumbing code. What is a code? A way of doing things that every time you do it, it always works. The white supremacists have a white code. It's the most efficient code for manipulating people and conquering people ever put into recorded history and put into practice. Black people need a counter-racist code that eliminates the white code, all right? We have never even thought about inventing one, because you have to invent one. And what does that code consist of? What you do and say each and every minute of each and every day, and all the things you don't do and say, all the things that you're in the habit of doing, need to be examined. What we call black culture, because it's a failed culture. Black, what we call brag about, parade about, black culture, some type of phantom culture, because I don't know what people are talking about when they say black culture. I mean, what are the ingredients that go into black culture? When I put that term on a blackboard in seminars, I put the words, because you start with words, I say black culture. Now, somebody tell me exactly what that is. Anybody in the audience? And every time, after about 10 minutes of silence, somebody has feebly held up their hand and say, black music. Okay, so I put that on the board. I say, all right, give me something else. Well, soul food. So I put that on the board. So that's number one, black music. Number two, soul food. All right, give me something else. Silence. That's what I got.
Yes, sir.
Each and every time.
So would you say
and
that?
So we're walking around using all these slogans. I mean, well, we got to save our black culture. You know, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? What we need is a black culture, because we, you know, something that's counter-racist. That's what black culture, in essence, should be. Something that's effective. When you do it, it works against racism and works for justice. We don't have it.
Yes.
How do you get it? You're gonna have to have a code to get it, which means certain things you do. Certain things you don't do, certain things you say, certain things you don't say. And this is each and every minute of each and every day, wherever you happen to be. And you don't deviate from it. You stick with it. You don't move from it. If you move from it, it's not a code.
Exactly.
You do the same thing that always works. You don't ever do anything that doesn't work.
All righty. You don't do it. Listen, we have come to the close of the show. There are people that's trying to get on. I'm sorry, we just can't take your call, so call back next week. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio the way it should be heard. Mr. Fuller, I'm going to call you after we get off here. There's something I need to discuss with you. Nothing serious, but something I need to discuss with you. Thank you for the pleasure of your time, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why one should always ask it.
Radio.